just try to have the joy of the Lord, and just try to show that love in a way that ministers to people. Not try to judge people, but try to love them unconditionally.
You have to say, Lord, this person is not easy to love. Help me love this person. I want to love this person and let you love them through me.
Love is God. God is love. So we cannot separate those.
If you're tired of the way things are, then make a change. Regardless of your circumstances, God's love still works every time. Join Pastors George and Jeremy Pearsons today on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Pastor George Pearsons. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We've been on the broadcast all week. Gosh, it's been a short week. But been on with my son, Jeremy Pearsons, grandson of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And He's been doing a lot of preaching this week. You know, you come by that honestly, don't you?
Yeah, it's in the blood, I think.
It's in the blood. And so, but it's been great. And I just so appreciate Jeremy and all that he means to Terry and I and to our church, to the body of Christ, and how you have really just stepped up to the plate and just so proud of the way that you've taken hold of what not only we've taught you, but your grandparents have taught you. And it's exciting to see the proof in your life from the things that were put into you. And you just add such a great part to this whole mix of our family. You know, our families are so important. All of our families here with the Copeland family, we're all working for the ministry. We're all doing things for the ministry. We don't have kids running off doing other stuff. We're all connected. Mm-hmm. And Mom and I, and I know that Mimi and Papa are very proud of what you're doing here and what you're doing in the church and for the ministry. So with all that said, this is your last broadcast for this week.
Right.
Anyway, I'm sure you'll be back. But for this time, right. Jeremy, where do you want to take us today as we finish up Living Proof?
Well, we are going to wrap this up today, and I'm excited about this particular message today, because all of this, I really believe, is coming down to some things that you and I can do very practically in our lives.
Good.
And that I believe is what we're tasked with as ministers, is not to just stand in front of people and say, hey, go do this, and you know, all the best to you on that. But it's really to help, through the Spirit of God, provide some real practical approach to these kinds of things, because that's, you know, we got to be watchful of that word practical. That is not separating the spiritual. Practically, we are spiritual people. You understand what I'm saying? So anyway, we want to jump into some of this today. And just by talking briefly about what we discussed yesterday, all of what we're talking about, being living proof, stepping up to the crossroads of spirit and flesh, recognizing what the fruit in our life is supposed to be, what's the fruit hanging on the tree, the outward condition as a result of the outward reaction as a result of the inward condition, the seed of the Holy Spirit that was planted inside of you, producing good fruit, producing love, joy, peace, patience, and on down the line. So all of these things that we're talking about, the recognition that it comes right back down to knowing Him, knowing the Father, knowing Jesus, and knowing Him intimately in His Word. And we talked about this week, what Paul said in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I am no longer alive. It's not me, it's Christ that lives in me. And the recognition that it's not about me, this is not in my own strength, this is not in my own doing, but I humble myself under the mighty hand of God so that He can exalt me, right. So that He can promote. So in all of this, it comes down to knowing Him and knowing Him on that familiar level to where we can stand and speak for Him and become living proof of who He is, living proof of the commandment of love. Jesus said it, and we've been talking all about it this week. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another, so that all men may know that you're my disciples. In other words, I'm a Christian, just like you said. Prove it.
Yeah.
It's not where you go to church. Yeah. It's not the clothes you wear. It's not the car you drive. It's not the family you're in. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
And I could say this right here, being in this family has been just the one of the greatest honors that anyone could ever ask for. And it's been such an honor in my life. And there are times when this name has opened doors, and I thank God for it. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't have it any other way, and I'm so humbled by it. But there has come a time in my life where God is not holding me accountable based on my last name.
Right.
He is looking for the living proof in my life that I know Him and He knows me and He can trust me. And that's what we're endeavoring to come to. And again, what is the proof of this? It's the love that we have for each other. And going back to Romans 12, being our minds being transformed, being renewed to this, not waiting for this to come so naturally to us, not waiting for love to be easy, not waiting for mercy right. from me to right. you to be easy, because it's not going to be. It's going to be a transformation. It's going to be a renewing of the mind, the recognition that I've been loved so I can love you. I've been forgiven so I can forgive you. That's what's on me to do. So in all of this, I mean, these are these things that we deal with day in and day out, no matter what place in life you're in, whether somebody brings you to this crossroad of spirit and flesh through something they've said or done to you, something that's been written to you or about you. We've talked how things have been said about our family, about right. Mimi and Pawpaw.
Right.
And we have watched them be living proof. Take yep. the high road, take the love road. And there's some things in this we could talk about. I want to start, let's instead of Romans there, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 first okay. of all. And this is a really clear example. And today as we wrap this up, I believe more clearly than ever, you are going to see not just that this can be done, but the how-to. Because thank God He has not left us without hope. He's not left us without a way out of this thing. He's given yeah. us something to
he
hold
didn't
on
say, here,
to.
You figure it out.
Yeah, you figure it out. I did my part. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to start in the 17th verse. And he says here, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." And again, this is just a reference to what we said earlier in Ephesians 2 this week, that the way we used to live, the way we used to walk, there was nothing different about us. We were a nameless face in a crowd. We blend in when all we did was try to satisfy the lust of this flesh, try to satisfy the cravings right. of this flesh. There was nothing different about us until we called on mercy. And mercy sought us out in that crowd, and He said, "I'm going to sit you down next to my Son." We've been seated together in heavenly places next to Jesus. And He says here in verse 20, don't live that way anymore. Don't walk that way anymore. Separate yourself because you've not so learned Christ. Yeah. You've been taught different. You know better. How many times have I had that Pastor Terry Mother Pearson's finger? You know better. You've been taught better. And how many times have you had that finger?
I know.
And the truth is we have been. You've been taught. You have not so learned Christ. If you have heard Him and you've been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, be renewed by the spirit of your mind, or in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and in holiness. Put off and put on.
Yeah.
Now this is as simple as it gets. And I think about just this very morning. You know, I walk into the closet, decide what I'm going to wear today. What are you going to wear today? You walk in, and what do? Every single day of your life, you go in there and you put something on, and you stand there in front of that mirror and you look and you decide, do I like what I have on? Do I like what I look like? And if you don't, what do? You go back, you put it off, and you put something else on.
Or if you come out and your wife says, "Is that what you're wearing today?"
Exactly. And you know,
no, that's just
This is just what I was wearing before I was going to wear what I'm going to wear.
Yeah.
But that's a great example. You know, I think about like a family. Say a family, and you may identify with this. Watching, you know, everybody's getting ready to go out one night. You're all going out to dinner, and everybody's gone to their respective places to get ready, and everybody's ready until Dad walks out. Now, you're a sharp-dressed dad, but you have so graciously opened your life to to my input and the input of your daughter and your wife. And so it's produced good
fruit. No black knee socks with shorts.
Produce good fruit in your life. But, you know, a lot of dads aren't quite as open to that. And so dad will walk out and everybody's ready to go, except dad walks out in the blue striped shirt, red plaid shorts, pulled up way too high, black socks to the knees, and sandals. Okay? So dad walks out in that, and inevitably mom or the kids are going to stand there, and they ask this very rhetorical question of, is that what you're going to wear? And what they're saying is, that does not look good. And the dad stands there and says, what's wrong with this? And the truth is, this is what's wrong with it. That shirt stopped being clean 3 days ago. Those shorts, no shorts should be pulled that high. No belt should be pulled that tight. And the contrast of the whiteness of your legs and the blackness of those socks, it's like I say, you know, you left your legs plugged in all night and they've been charging and now there's this brilliant electric glow. And nobody should wear socks and sandals like that together. So there's a lot wrong with that. There's enough there for us to say, you know what? Go change. Put off what you have on. Put on something else. Now, you and I, as born-again believers, have the Holy Spirit of God alive and well inside of us. It's the gift of God. It's the gift from Jesus. He said, it's better if I go so you can have Him. And here we stand, just like we've been talking all week, at the crossroads of spirit and flesh, just about to let them have it. Somebody's done us wrong. Once again, you know, that was the last straw. I'm not taking it anymore. And there we stand, ready just to let them have it. And those words of retaliation and defense and revenge are being so well crafted on the inside. And in any moment now, in my next breath, I'm going to let them have it. And here it comes. And just before it comes out, here's the Holy Ghost rising up in you saying, is that what you're going to wear? Are you going to wear that?
Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, because I'm in you. Yeah. And I talked to you about this. We've dealt with this before. And he says, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Mm. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Just like in those times past, even when you dress like that, it would grieve the spirit of mother for you to walk out dressed like that. Don't grieve her. Put that off. Put something else on. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So just before you wear that shirt of bitterness, just before you put on that coat of resentment, before you let them have it, you let this one thought ring loud and clear in your thinking, in your mind, and in your heart, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And you let that speak clearly to you. Because you have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And He's sitting there saying to you, just before you let Him have it, just before bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking are about to find its way out into the open, there's the Holy Ghost saying, is that what you're going to wear? Are you going to wear that? Because that's not what I started in you. Yeah. That's not what I put in your closet. I put love in here. And when you said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, I came in and I planted this seed. And the seed is in there to produce a fruit. And the fruit that you're about to put on your tree is not the fruit that matches the seed that I put inside. Don't put that on. Go back, change, put something else on. Romans, where we were just a moment ago, Romans chapter 13 says in verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Right. If you back up just a few verses before that, verse 8, owe no one anything except to love him. Verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. The whole commandment is all summed up in this saying, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Let us walk properly in that day. All of it, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. like you would a shirt, like you would a coat, like you would the clothes you were going to wear out of the house that day.
Yeah.
If you put something on and you stand in front of that mirror and you don't like what you see, change. If you're about to put on words, if you're about to put on something that is not the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and you stand and you look in the mirror of the Word of God, and you don't like what you see that you've got on and that's about to come out, change. Put something else on.
Yeah.
Put something on that looks like Him. Put something on that sounds like Him. Put something on that will represent what's going on inside you. The inward condition producing the outward reaction.
Right.
And you talked about it every time the Holy Ghost is present. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't. You said it. And not only does He have to just stand there and remove Himself from the situation, but it says there in Ephesians that it grieves Him. Colossians says this very thing. Put on the new man. Put Him on. By faith, put it on. You stand there at that crossroads of spirit and flesh. Put on the Spirit. Become living proof. Because what people see, this perception, you know, we say all the time, you know, this is not the real me. You know, you don't know what's going on inside me. Okay, well, show me. Show me the work of the Lord that's going on inside of you. Show others. Be living proof that there is a God in heaven who was able to save a wretch like you. That was able to save a soul like me. Prove it. Yes, I'm a Christian. Very good. Now prove it. Okay, well, I love you, brother. No, that's not the proof. Jesus said, let us no longer love in word only, but in deed. And there's some practical things we can do around this. I preach this message to our teenagers and preach it to adults as well. There are things we find ourselves saying all the time that if the next time they come out of our mouths, we'll let those be red flags that go up. We'll catch ourselves. Things like, now, I don't mean to be rude, but guess what's about to happen? You are about to be very rude. If you have to say that before what you say, then don't say it. There's other things we say. I'm not trying to be mean here, but... Well, then don't. Then just don't. Then don't be mean. Don't be rude. Here's another one. You know, I love them. I love them so much, but...
Bless their heart.
Bless their heart. You know? And that is not love.
Yeah.
There are things that come out of our mouths so often in the name of love that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Watch yourself when you're saying those things. Do not let bitterness come out. What is the opposite of bitterness? Sweet.
Yeah.
Be sweet. Minister grace to those who hear you. Every word out of our mouths should be the words that minister grace to people. They should be living proof of how much we've been forgiven of. Of how much grace has been poured out on us.
Right.
How many times over and over and over and over and over have we been shown mercy at the hand of a loving God?
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, just the number of times, probably today, that the mercy of God has been poured out on us. What right do we have to stand in judgment over anyone else? And something that helps me with this is when somebody's done something to me or somebody's acted in a way that just would try to hurt me or try to just get under my skin, one of my first thoughts, and I do this consciously and on purpose, I think, you know what? I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what's going on in their life. Just like they don't know what's going on in mine.
Right.
I wouldn't attempt to judge where that action came from. And I heard Pawpaw say this a while back, that, you know, so often we judge people by their actions and we judge ourselves by our good intentions.
Right.
Well, I didn't mean to be rude. I didn't mean to be unlovely. Well, you were, whether you meant to or not.
Yeah.
And I just think about putting all of this on.
Or the conversations that begin, we need to pray for so-and-so.
Yeah.
And the prayer never happens.
Right.
But
the talk goes on.
I think what you're saying here, Jeremy, it really comes down, you're talking about what can we apply right away. I think it starts right here with our mouth, with our tongue, what we say. And you can make a conscious decision that I'm not going to speak evil about people. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to spread rumors. I'm not going to say things, plant bad seeds. I'm just not going to do that because that would not be proof of Jesus on the inside of me. In the same way that, remember, I made that decision with Pawpaw about, you know, he said, you need to repent for saying that about that person. And I made that decision. I am not going to talk about people anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I've slipped up here and there, but for the most part, I have just kept my mouth shut.
But you notice when you make that decision and you do mess up, you do slip it, do you notice that the Holy Ghost is right there?
Right away.
And David said in the Psalms, he said, put a watch over my mouth. Put a guard over my lips. And we look at all these things and we look throughout, you take an inventory of our lives, and we've talked so much about mercy this week, and we're thinking, I want to see the mercy of God. I want to see that characteristic of God show up. The quickest way to see that in our own lives is to be merciful.
Yeah.
The quickest way to see God show up in your life is by you being a representation of Him.
Yep.
I was thinking about Paul just a few weeks ago. He called me up, said, what are you doing? I said, whatever you want me to be doing, what do you got in mind? And he said, let's go fly. And, you know, you drop what you're doing and you go fly with the man. I mean, that's a lot of fun. So he and I get out there, and weather looks like it's closing in a little bit around us, but we get out there and we decide we're going to go fly and taxi out to the runway and look up, and it has closed in quick. He said, Jeremy, we better go back to the house. We're not going to get up in this. So we get back, and just in time to taxi in back into the hangar. No sooner did he get out of the plane and take a step out of that hangar, and that weather was closing in deep and dark around us. I mean, I'm talking clouds turning green.
Right.
This is looking threatening, things starting to come down out of the clouds. And I saw Pawpaw tear off after that storm. He must have taken 30, 40 paces with his finger in the air and his teeth gritted. And you could hear him from all around just talk to that thing. No, you don't. You get off my property in the name of Jesus. And it was like he was chasing a dog off his property, you know? Mm-hmm. He was going to go meet that thing eye to eye. And right there, I saw something. That was living proof of the authority of the believer.
Yeah.
That was proof of the authority that God holds and proof of the authority He's given to us.
Yeah.
How often are we to be living proof of that authority, living proof of love?
He preaches it.
Yeah.
He walks it.
Lives it. Thank you, Papa.
Wow. Jeremy, let me put a cap on this for us with this scripture. 1 John 4:12 in the Amplified says, No man has at any time yet seen God. But if we love one another, God abides, lives, and remains in us. And His love, that love which is essentially His, is brought to completion, to its full maturity, runs its full course, and is perfected in us. And I think we don't realize that, you know, we talk about being a demonstration of the Spirit of God. People don't see God. They see Him in us. They see Him act through us. They see Him talk through us. They see Him demonstrated through us, that we should be living proof of who He is and who His Word is on this earth. We'll be right back with you. Stay with us.
Get up! Get up! Get up and declare my word, saith the Lord. For your victory is at hand in greater measure than ever before. Not because of greater work and labor on your part, but because of your faith in the blessing, and your inheritance is at hand. Rise up and head through the door. This is the hour of your victory. You will not fail it.
Your door is open. Come out for an intimate time together in God's Word with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's time for the 2007 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us from the 8th to the 10th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.
It's offering day here on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and I want to read a scripture to you. Jeremy, this, after my 31 years of serving Kenneth and Gloria in this ministry, I really believe that I've captured the spirit, not only of this ministry, but of the spirit of Kenneth and Gloria, where offerings are concerned. And I found it in Philippians chapter 4. And this is Paul. The Apostle Paul here is talking, and he said in verse 15, "You Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And to me, that is the summary of how Kenneth and Gloria Copeland feel. They, as we receive offering on this broadcast today, I know what their heart is. You talk about proof. Yeah. I know what their heart is, and their heart is to see you increase. Their heart is to see you abound. Their heart is to see that fruit may abound to your account. A couple of other translations say, anxious to see abundant fruit returned to your account. I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Amplified Bible says, I seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. And so today, as we prepare to give our offering on this broadcast, I just really believe that it's the heart of Kenneth and Gloria, not that they desire a gift, but they're desiring for fruit to abound to your account. And fruit abounds to your account as you sow into the work of the gospel. And so, for those that are receiving this radio and TV broadcast outside of the United States, your offering is going to stay in the area of the world where you're located. It's going to stay right there and do the work of the gospel there in the kingdom of God. And so there's an address right there for those of you that want to write to us. You can also contact us by email. You can give online. Participate in what's going on here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And so praise God. Thank you for being a part of this and for joining us with this. Praise God. Amen. Well, we're so glad that you've joined us for this week. Jeremy, thank you. Awesome job. I got a lot out of this. It makes me want to go out and preach somewhere.
Amen.
So we just appreciate you so much. Remember, Thunder Over Texas starts today. And next week, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland begin a partnership week. You don't want to miss that. We just so appreciate you being a part of this. Remember that Jeremy and I love you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord.
This is the Year of the Open Door, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. For more information on this broadcast, today's product offer, or other ministry tools and resources, visit our website at kcm.org. You may also call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. As we celebrate 40 years of ministry, we believe for God's plan in your life and that you will walk through the open door of the blessing this year.
Make your plans now for Jerry Savelle Ministries Thunder Over Texas Motorcycle Rally Car Show and Camp Meeting. All the fun and excitement is happening Labor Day weekend, August 31st through September 2nd. Bring the whole family out to historic Town Square in Granbury, Texas for this Christian Bikers Weekend. There will be great food, live music, and powerful teaching by Jerry Savelle
and Kenneth Copeland.
For more information, log on to jerrysavelle.org or call 817-297-3155. We'll see you there.
Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. You don't want to miss the broadcast that Gloria and I have just finished that are coming on the air concerning partnership. And the thing I'm thinking about, Gloria, is how we learned and what God taught us about that hundredfold return.
Hallelujah.
Don't miss it.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.